The Lord has favored us that every Lord's Day we were allowed to listen to God's holy law. And today, this last Lord's Day of 2013, let's again humble ourselves before that law and let it be an act of worship to hear God's Ten Commandments, that we see our sins and look to the only Savior from sin and resolve by His grace and Spirit to live in accordance with His holy law. So let's listen to the Ten Commandments and afterwards sing Psalter 68, entitled The Paths of the Lord, based on Psalm 25. Hear the law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, who have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy to thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long in the land which the Lord thy God gives thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. So far, God's perfect law, true love, before him and each other. Psalter 68. good to be in your midst, dear congregation. Greetings from the church in Calgary also. We're privileged to read further from God's Word as we worship this morning from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 10. Ecclesiastes, chapter 10. And our text will be the 10th verse of this chapter, under the theme, A Gripping Picture with a Gracious Point and for Great Purposes. But let's read the whole chapter. Hear the inspired word of God. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So does a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart is at his left. Yea, also, when he that is a fool walks by the way, his wisdom fails him, and he says to everyone that he's a fool. If the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place, for yielding pacifies great offenses. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, as an error which proceeds from the ruler. Folly is set in great dignity, and the rich sit in low place. I have seen servants upon horses, and princes walking as servants upon the earth. He that digs a pit shall fall into it, and whoso breaks an hedge, a serpent shall bite him. Whoso removes stones shall be hurt therewith, and he that cleaves or cuts or chops wood shall be endangered thereby. If the iron be blunt, and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. Surely the serpent will bite without enchantment, and a babbler is no better. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. The beginnings of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is mischievous madness. A fool also is full of words. A man cannot tell what shall be, and what shall be after him, who can tell him? The labor of the foolish wearies every one of them, because he knows not how to go to the city. Woe to thee, O land, when thy king is a child, and thy princes eat in the morning. Blessed art thou, O land, when thy king is the son of nobles, and thy princes eat in due season for strength, and not for drunkenness. By much slothfulness the building decays, and through idleness of the hands the house drops through. A feast is made for laughter, and wine makes merry, but money answers all things. Curse not the king, no, not in thy thought, and curse not the rich in thy bedchamber, for a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which has wings shall tell the matter. So far the scriptures. May God bless just the reading of his word to us, and especially verse 10. If the iron be blunt and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength, but wisdom is profitable to direct. We will first call upon the Lord in prayer and ask for his blessing, and in our prayer we will remember the persons mentioned, especially in the third paragraph in the center page of the bulletin, Brother Frank and Alexander Van Zanten, and also Eddie Van Essel. Let's pray. Almighty and most holy, glorious, triune God, thank you that again we may come to church. We have been privileged the whole year, at least 52 Sundays, to come together for Christian worship. Maybe a service or two was canceled because of weather, but for the most part, we can always come here on Sundays. The doors are open, the building is warm, and we have Bibles before us, and we can worship in freedom. And we can know when we come here that the Word will be opened. Lord, we are so privileged. And again, we have been privileged the whole year once more. Help us, Lord, as we may gather together this day, that we may truly be thankful for your mercies to us, for your loving kindness in granting us this privilege of holy worship time and again, and of seeking to lead us in the way of the gospel of Jesus Christ. O Lord, as we gather for this last Sunday of the year, may it be that each one of us truly realizes how much we need that gospel. And also through the reading of the law every Lord's Day, we may know something of our sins and sinfulness, and that we may truly be sorry and repentant of all our sins. Lord, we confess with the psalmist, if thou shouldst mark our sins, who then could stand? But, O Lord, there is forgiveness with thee, and we pray that we may know that, that we may know our sins in a way that we flee to the Savior and ever look to Him and trust in Him for the whole of our salvation from beginning to end. Lord, keep us from just going through the motions of religion as the years go by. But we pray for the Holy Spirit's ministry, that law and gospel, gospel and law, may be blessed by Thee to our eternal well-being. That we may be a people who have a very tender conscience for the least sin. That we may care about sin, not just that people see us, but whatever sins there may be in our lives that only Thou dost know about. Lord, that we may repent of it and be truly sorry. And that before this year ends, each one of us may have that cleansing through Christ's blood while it's yet the day of grace. Dear Lord, bless us today under the word, this morning and this afternoon, and help us to be guided in the way everlasting. Each one, children, young people, and older ones, we give thanks for the whole congregation gathered here this day. We pray for the congregation here and their pastor, consistory. We give thanks, Lord, for your blessing this church in so many ways, and we pray continue to bless them, continue to uphold them in the way of the gospel, in the way of faithfulness to the word, and in the way of the Spirit's blessing upon the preached word in this place. Dear Lord, we pray this morning for Pastor Murdyk as he is preaching in Lacombe. We pray for traveling mercies there and back. And we pray, bless him and make him a blessing also where he may serve there today. Be with Pastor Dibbitt as he serves in Calvary Church, and be with me here. Lord, we are sinful instruments in ourselves, but wilt thou use us in spite of ourselves as we seek to bring the word of God to the congregation. And may all the glory be to thee, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We give thanks, Lord, for special blessings in this time. We think of the time of the year that we are in and how many families get together, and we give thanks for traveling mercies also when loved ones may have come to visit with family. Lord, bless these times and make them to be a blessing to all involved. We pray for those too who have special griefs at this time. We think of the family that just this past week buried a husband and father and grandfather. We remember the widow, Lord, of Tony Van E. We pray for your strength for her and for the comfort which comes from above. Thou who art the God of all comfort, be her comforter also in this time when the loss of a loved one will be keenly felt. We pray, O God, this morning in thanksgiving for special blessing on training for a career and then going out to serve in that training. And we think this morning of Alexandra Van Zanten as she will leave from the congregation here and move to Ontario to take up a teaching position in St. George area. Lord, bless her. Go with her and strengthen her and give her enthusiasm and your blessing on the work that she hopes to do. Make her a blessing to the students whom she will teach and a blessing in the school where she may serve. We pray this morning for Brother Franklin E. as he faces surgery this week, Lord, on Thursday, if all goes as planned. We give thanks, Lord, for the way he has been helped so far in the journey he's been taking and battling the cancer. Lord, we pray, bless the surgery now too, and help the doctors and make it all go well in your amazing grace and loving providence also upon him and Willie and all their loved ones. Lord, we give thanks that we have the medical care available as we do in this province. Help us to take that also not for granted. We pray this morning also for Mrs. Betty Van Esveld. Lord, bless her as she may have the joy of celebrating her 81st birthday. It makes us think of the text, "Open saith the Lord, wide thy mouth believing, this my covenant word I will if thou plead, fill thine every need, all thy wants relieving." Lord, that promise is true for when we're little children and true for when we are old, also coming closer to the end of life's journey. Grant that Sister Van Esveld may know that joy and comfort too, and be near her and her husband also in this special time of Thanksgiving. Lord, we pray for other places in the world which are not as privileged as we. We think of countries where there's a lot of turmoil. And this morning we would pray for the country of Sudan, where there is chaos and threat of unlimited bloodshed. We pray of mercy upon that people, especially upon Christians in that land. Protect them and, Lord, bring peace, we pray. Law and order again, could it be. We think likewise of the country of Syria, a country so ravaged with bloodshed and terror and trouble and war for so long already. Lord, that there may come peace and order in that land. We pray for Christians persecuted across the world. Lord, give your special blessing upon them. Grant that they may know that thou hast not forsaken them, whatever their circumstances. Lord, we pray for them and we ask, hear their prayers for us, as we are so comfortable all too often in our privileges and we do not realize how much we receive from your fatherly hand. Lord, forgive us when we take our blessings for granted. Forgive us when we don't treasure the gospel of Jesus Christ as we ought to. Forgive us when we don't care to share it with others and to make it known to others while it's yet the day of grace. Lord, hear our prayer. Remember us in mercy. Bless us now out of your fullness, not because we deserve it, but only always for Jesus' sake, grace for grace. His name we pray. Amen. We'll sing from Psalter 298 following the sermon, stanza 2 and 3. Thy truth and tender love are high as heaven above. Thy help we crave. 298, 2 and 3. This morning, dear congregation belonging to Christ, we have a text before us that presents a gripping picture which has a gracious point to serve for great purposes. Are you interested? Listen to the text, Ecclesiastes 10, verse 10. If the iron be blunt, and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. Let me give you this verse as translated in some other versions to help make it a bit more clear. If your axe is blunt, another version puts it, and you don't sharpen it, you have to work harder to use it. It is more sensible to plan ahead. Still another version reads, more a paraphrase really, but it summarizes our text this way. A dull axe requires great strength. Be wise and sharpen the blade. And one more translation reads along the same line thus. Since a dull axe requires great strength, sharpen the blade. That's the value of wisdom. It helps you to succeed. In other words, you see, in the King James Version, the iron refers to an axe. And the wetting of the edge that's dull doesn't mean watering it, no, no. But it means sharpening that cutting edge of the axe. Literally, to wet the edge, as given in the Hebrew, comes from a word which means to make of little account. To make of little account the face of that axe. In other words, that is, to make the cutting edge of that axe razor thin,
so that it will slice easily and cut deeply through whatever it strikes and hits. So do you understand better now what our text is saying? If the iron, the axe be blunt, be dull, and you don't whet the edge, you don't sharpen it, then you will have to increase your strength. Yes, you will have to exert yourself all the more. Perhaps some of you know this by experience. Think of the winter season. Often farmers will do some cutting of trees and have some wood ready for the next season already. And you understand what Solomon says here when he says, you need to plan ahead with a well-sharpened axe. If the iron be blunt and you do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. This text presents indeed a gripping picture, which has a gracious point, and that for great purposes, gospel purposes, we can say. Let me explain further what I mean, and may the gracious God open this text to us and open us, you and me, to this text. Surely our text presents a gripping picture. For isn't it true, many in this world, indeed all of us by nature, as it were, slug it out in life with dull axes, with irons that be blunt. Here you must think too what is meant really by Solomon with iron in our text, what it represents. It represents more than just an axe. Already in the days of Solomon, and still in our day too, iron is used in so many ways in everyday life and service. And we may say then, especially in the context of the book of Ecclesiastes, which is all about daily work and the routines of daily life, that our text is really about being successful and fruitful also in our daily labors and in all of the endeavors of life. Today is the last Sunday of the year. Has it been a good year? What about next year? The daily routines of life. How's it going? What are the facts, really, of life? What's the reality? So very many people are struggling hard to live fruitful and satisfying lives. But always it somehow escapes them. The more they exert themselves to accomplish great things, the more they feel how little, really, they are accomplishing. There are lots of people, if you should ask them to speak honestly, they will tell you they're not that happy in their work and in their life. And they feel a real discontentment in their lives and generally just unfulfilled. They don't have real peace and they plod along from day to day, from week to week, from year to year, living mostly for weekend thrills and special pleasures to keep them going. How many for New Year's Eve are planning a party, try to just forget the humdrum of life, and maybe New Year, maybe, but there's not much likelihood it'll be better. But we'll just manage it. Yes, our verse, congregation, presents a gripping picture. For the fact is, there are all too many people who go out every day with irons that be blunt. They work hard, yes, but the harder they work to accomplish anything, the more meaningless things become, and the more fruitless they see their lives to be. Their work and their life is really a weariness and a vexation of spirit for them. That's the reality for many, if not most even. Indeed, even with those who gain great riches and fame, working hard for that, with irons blunt, it leaves you still drained and dissatisfied, in spite of all appearances. You know, Solomon himself, he discovered this, didn't he, from his own experience? When he, for a time, in his foolishness, spent himself estranged from God, all out to gain riches and pleasure and fame, although when he had it all, it gave him no joy, no peace, no real sense of fulfillment. His testimony in Ecclesiastes 2, verse 11 is, then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, he says, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. In our text, chapter 2, I don't know if you noticed it, in verse 15, Solomon says, on the basis of observation and inspiration, the labors of the foolish wearies every one of them. Could it be, dear congregation, this morning, that there is one or more here in Monarch Church who is just so weary? Not only physically weary, but simply weary of life altogether. Oh, it's the holiday season, so you put on a good front, but really you're wilting inside, maybe. You're tired of not getting anywhere in life. You're frustrated with working so hard in life and yet accomplishing so little. At least so it seems to you. I ask you, do you think the problem might be you are going out too much and too often with iron that is blunt, with an axe that is not sharpened? Wisdom is profitable to direct. Will you consider the wisdom of the inspired text that is before us this morning? We need to go deeper, though, to get at this text. Please listen closely. We were created, you and I, to serve God and to live all out for His glory. And religious people, church people like us, you and I, we know that this is our calling, don't we? But isn't it true, many people, yes, many church people too, they try to fulfill this calling with irons that be blunt. And so they exert themselves, yes, in self-righteousness and in works of the law. And they labor in their own strength. And before you know it, they become so fatigued and frustrated and fed up, because they accomplish so little and they seem to make no real and lasting progress at all. And apart from the grace of God, you know what happens often? They quit the struggle altogether. Or they resign themselves to be content with just a form of religion without knowing the power thereof and the joy thereof. Might that be what's describing you this morning? Might it be exactly your case? Someone here or more with us now. But then also, yes, in your religious life, if you are weary and heavy laden, could it be you have been forgetting, so to speak, to wet the edge? And you are going out too often, too much, with irons that be blunt. But wisdom is profitable to direct. Will you listen to the inspired text of this service? It is better to sharpen your axe than to put yourself in a sweat, hitting fierce blows with a blunt iron, accomplishing virtually nothing. Hearty exertion without wisdom is profitless. Our text, we can say, presents a gripping picture, yes, for it presents the plight of modern man, fallen in Adam, and the plight of religious man left to himself. The sad reality is, dear congregation, we, you and I, can't live God-honoring, truly fruitful and fulfilling lives left to ourselves. We were created, yes, as irons with well-wetted edge, all in service for God. But our sins and sinfulness by nature after Adam's fall has spoiled and blunted it all. And even with all kinds of human resources at our fingertips, left to ourselves, our lives remain meaningless and empty, vain and unprofitable before God and for ourselves. In living and working for God's honor and in a lastingly profitable way, oh, there are forests of sin in our lives that have to be tackled. And there are blunt irons just won't hack it. There's rough wood full of tough knots of sin that blunt irons just can't slice away. There are slippery, hard, stubborn roots of evil that blunt irons just bounce off of. You can work as hard as you want, but you won't get anywhere. Left to yourself.
We need the cutting edge of our lives sharpened. Sharpened not by human inventions, but whetted, sharpened under the hammer of God's Word and on the anvil of His grace and truth, sharpened under the tempering work of the Holy Spirit and the gracious guidance of God the Father as revealed in Jesus Christ. Without the iron being thus sharpened, without our lives being thus focused on God in Christ, life will inevitably continue in endless drudgery, futile labors, and aimless meaninglessness, draining disappointments, and frustrating hopelessness. Life is vanity of vanities, apart from a God-centered focus and a biblical Christian perspective. That is the whole message of the book of Ecclesiastes, isn't it? And our text lends its own telling support to that overall message and theme. The gripping picture of our text. Do you see it with me? And does it grip you too? If the iron be blunt and you do not whet the edge, then must you put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. This verse, if we see it rightly, does not only present a gripping picture, but thankfully it presents a gripping picture with a gracious point. And you know the gracious point? What it is, the gracious point in our text? The gracious point is you and I don't need irons that be blunt. You and I can take care that we don't have an iron that's blunt. Implied in the text, you see, is the gracious invitation from God our Savior in all our needs for body and soul to come to Him, also with our blunt irons. Indeed, for what alone is the remedy for the dullness and deadness and drudgery and depravity in our lives? Is it not daily contact and communion with Christ, the Savior? Is it not being born again by the Holy Spirit and subject to His renewed sharpening day by day through the gospel and through Christ's saving and sanctifying power? Wisdom is profitable to direct, and it directs to Christ. To Him, the Lord Jesus, we must go. God, who in His mercy sent forth His Son to seek and to save sinners, to come to people like you and me, who through sin, our original sin in Adam, and our sins of every day, have literally lost the edge on everything. It is to Christ, the crucified and risen Savior, we must look and may look and find our refuge with. Shall our lives again be reconciled to God and become meaningful and purposeful and of true service to God and our neighbor? Well, do you know this for yourself, each one here, younger and older? Nothing else but true and continual contact and communion with Christ by grace through faith in Him can enable us for God's God-honoring real service and to keep us fit for such service in our lives. Indeed, not only initial but daily surrender of ourselves to the Lord in the way of hearty repentance and true faith and sincere obedience is what is needed. I can do all things, said the Apostle Paul, through Christ who strengthens me. Yes, through Christ, the captain of salvation, we shall be more than conquerors and not be left struggling in hopeless defeat. O congregation, Jesus makes blunt irons sharp. And He whets the edge for as many as come to Him, for as often as you come to Him. The whole point is, you see, what another beautiful proclamation, really, of the Savior, our text ultimately gives. Well, do you catch this gracious point of our text? And does your mind and heart embrace it too? A while back I saw Tim Hortons coffee place sign on the wall about Tim Hortons coffee. Not so much held as embraced. What about with the gospel? Do you just hold to it or do you embrace it? Take it in. Love it. Need it. The gospel is, dear congregation, regardless how dull your iron might be, how dead and defeated and depraved and defected and even depressing your life may have been so far, He can help you, the Lord our God. He, the Lord God, our Savior, is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or think. I was thinking on my way up here, sometimes our iron can be as dull as the other side of the axe. You know, the big square side. You find that sometimes too. Doesn't matter. Bring it to Jesus. He can make it sharp. This Jesus Christ as Savior can renew you, whoever you be. And He is willing and able to wet the edge of your life. Yes, yours and mine. That we might effectively and fruitfully and hopefully and gladly live for Him. And for His service. And gain victories too over sin and evil to His praise and glory. No blunted edge is too bad for Christ not to be able to transform. No case is hopeless or unwelcome with Him. Indeed, the Bible proclaims, doesn't it? Christ is always ready and able to help all who come to Him. For as often as you come to Him, every day again, every year anew. And you know what? He charges no fee. I had someone over Friday, said, yeah, I have lots of errands today, one of which is I have to get my son's skates sharpened. He's in hockey. I have to get his son's skates sharpened. But that costs money. There's a fee for that, as far as I remember. But His services are free every time again. And the sign above His workshop, if I may put it this way, is, come, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light. It's the last verses of Matthew 11. And it fits all with wisdom is profitable to direct, you see. Oh, I ask, do you see the gracious point of the gripping picture in our text? Wisdom is profitable to direct. Does it direct you too? Do you look to the Savior? Not just once, but each day anew. Maybe before you did. Maybe earlier in this year, but of late you haven't. And you know, if you're honest, you are heaving and you're sighing with an iron that is blunt and dull, spiritually speaking. Does that really describe you, maybe? Could it be? Oh, why continue in that dismal way? Go to the Savior today and tell Him everything. Your iron became dull. When? When you stopped praying regularly? When you allowed that sin or that bitterness to take control in your life? You know, in the Song of Solomon, King Solomon speaks there of the little foxes that spoil the vine. Are there little foxes, little sins that make dull the iron of your life? Or is it that you have allowed earthly cares and material matters to dominate in your life? Or could it be you've given in to pride and lust in some way? Oh, you know what makes your iron blunt in your life. And now you have an iron that's blunt. And your whole life, when you speak honestly, it's just dull spiritually. And you can't help yourself out of it, you find. Indeed, the more you try, the worse it gets. The only solution, I tell you, in God's name, and Solomon tells us in Ecclesiastes here, is to go to Christ, the Savior.
And to confess it all to Him. And to lay it all before Him, calling out what? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. My soul cleaves to the dust, and my iron is so dull. Again, please help me, for I have no one else to turn to. I tell you, you will find the Savior ever ready to forgive, to help you. Jesus is the wonderful, almighty, compassionate Savior, friend of all sinners who come to Him. One of the factors that can so contribute to irons that be blunt and dull, that is then to a life that is weary and dreary and getting nowhere in God's service and to His praise. One of the factors often is a schedule that is just so filled and you don't take time to seek the Lord in prayer and to fellowship with Him through His Word. You know, that's a mistake we all can get caught up in, can't we? But that we diligently need to guard against. Your iron is bound to be blunt and your day tough if you won't start with God in earnestly seeking Him as you begin each day. A certain person who had learned this important lesson for himself wrote a poem about this entitled "The Difference." And the poem goes like this. See if you can identify with it. The Difference. I got up early one morning and rushed right into the day. I had so much to accomplish that I didn't have time to pray. Problems just stumbled about me and heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me? I wondered. He answered, "You didn't ask." I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day toiled gray and bleak. I wondered why God didn't show me. He said, "You didn't seek." I tried to come into God's presence. I used all my keys at the lock. God gently and lovingly chided, "My child, you didn't knock." I woke up early this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish that I had to take time to pray. Does this poem make sense to you, congregation? Can you identify with it? Oh, if you understand our text with its gripping picture and its gracious point, you will agree that poem is so right on in its message. If the iron be blunt and you do not whet the edge, then must you put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. Will the wisdom of this text direct you, each one of you here this morning? Is it the case that some of you just won't be directed, also not by this word? But you will continue on in your sins and your stubborn resistance against God's word and will for your life. That's so sad, really, if that is the case. Indeed, it's actually most heartbreaking to think of you not following God's word and you plunging ahead also into another new year in hard exertion, hitting fierce blows with your iron that's so blunt and dull by nature, and just getting nowhere, really. Step deeper in struggles and troubles and away from God and headed to hell. By the way, let's each realize, beloved, your iron that is blunt won't ever become sharpened by always bashing against the blunt irons of others. Sometimes we do that, don't we? No, you and I must focus on the bluntness. Must not focus on the bluntness of other people's irons, glaring at their defectiveness and depravity in their lives. No, rather, we must each come to the Lord with the dullness and the depravity of our own life and humble ourselves before God, confessing, "O God, I have spoiled and soiled what you have made and given to me. Lord, I need cleansing and renewal. And for Jesus' sake alone, please have mercy on me and restore me again in thy ways." That's what's necessary, time and again, year after year, that you and I thus personally humble ourselves before God, even every day afresh. It's failure to see this and to do this that repeatedly makes our lives to be and become as irons that are dull and blunt as ever, and that just gets us nowhere at all. But wisdom is profitable to direct. Will you be directed with the divine wisdom of our text? Or will you stay thick-headed, hard-hearted, stiff-necked, dull of hearing even God's gospel word? I pray the latter won't be so for any of you here. You know, preparing this sermon, I think I can share this. My prayer to God became, "Oh Lord, help me also as a pastor, that I may not be as an iron that is blunt and dull among the people, but rather as a whetted edge used by you, Lord, for the spiritual and eternal well-being of all the flock." You see, the key also for effective ministry for us as ministers is daily to look to Christ in faith and repentance, and to walk in the Spirit, and thus with whetted edge, through God's power, to proclaim His word in season and out of season with all long suffering and doctrine. And you know, dear congregation, we as ministers, we too can be so slow to learn this. We too need to learn this again and again, how it's useless to labor as blunt irons, especially in the work of God's church and kingdom. As Jesus said in John 15, "Except you abide in me, you can bear no fruit. But he that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit." I read this week and I was struck by it, how John the Baptist is described by Jesus. You know how? John 5:35. "As a burning and shining light." He was a burning and shining light. Lord, make me, make us burning and shining lights for our God. Your congregation, will you continue to pray also for your own pastor, for all ministers of the gospel, that we may always remember the priority importance of daily reliance and communion with God, and to be in His presence before we come here in the pulpit, in your presence, and to walk humbly and holily before Him. There can be no real effectiveness in the ministry without that. This is also true for office bearers leading the church. Also, may I urge you together with me, the sermon is for me as well as for you, you see, to go to the Savior time and again for His sharpening and whetting of the edge of life in God's ways, in God's service, to His praise. One of the tools the Lord uses to flatten our dullness and to sharpen our focus is His holy word. Indeed, that's the Spirit's main tool, isn't it, for sharpening. And that's also why it's so important, isn't it, to be frequently in the word and regularly under the preaching. People who aren't diligent at studying the Bible and unfaithful in personally reading the Bible, unfaithful in church attendance, you can be sure they aren't effective and growing in the Christian faith. Beyond doubt, whether people will admit it or not, if you will be sloppy in the means of grace, you go about with irons that are dull and blunt, spiritually speaking. There's no zip and zap in your Christian life there at all. How sad when church people and confessing Christians can feel comfortable in such a state. If they are not deceiving themselves altogether about being saved, they are surely grieving the Holy Spirit. Oh, let these things not be true of any one of us present now in this service. If the iron be blunt and you do not wet the edge, then must you put to more strength, futile strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. This text presents to your congregation a gripping picture with a gracious point meant to serve for great, yes, and gospel purposes. Coming now to our third main point. And here, notice with me at least three main ways that our text can serve for good gospel purposes. On the one hand, it's a text which again reminds us, doesn't it, of our need to seek Christ the Savior and always to find refuge and strength in and with Him. Never can we be reminded of this enough here below. And always our tendency is to forget this. Isn't it true? Or is that just not true? It's the truth. Which Christian won't admit it? Our text with the image of a blunt iron reminds us of who and what we are in ourselves as fallen sons and daughters of Adam and Eve. But it tells us there's a remedy, a Savior who can help us in our needs. One who's able and willing to help. As I already said, whetted edges are possible with the Lord. Sharpened, razor thin, whetted edges. Every day again. No one needs to go through life, not even a single day, as a blunt iron slugging away and getting nowhere. No, and no one needs to perish in their sins and sinfulness. And no one needs to stumble along in fruitlessness and darkness and despairing meaninglessness and ineffectiveness. No, for with Jesus, the Savior of sinners, there is help to be found. How so? Well, Jesus went here on earth. He always went about with a wetted edge in God's service. Perfectly so even, didn't he? And yet at the same time, Jesus took upon himself the just and eternal punishment due to us, blunted, bungling, blind sinners by nature. Yes, he took that punishment even to the death on the cross. With the result that now, through His once for all sacrifice, the Lord freely, gladly, totally, repeatedly renews and restores His own, even as many as come to Him, confessing their sins and trusting Him alone as the one God anointed, approved Savior of sinners. That's the gospel message. And our text serves a gospel purpose, a good purpose, in that once again, it allows us to proclaim that blessed gospel message. God's true people can never hear it, that message, too often. And they love to hear it again and again. And it's just marvelous, isn't it, in how many different ways it comes across in the Bible. Also from Ecclesiastes 10, verse 10. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. May it be used of God the Spirit in a searching, saving, sanctifying way. Also this message, now, proclaimed to us from Ecclesiastes 10, verse 10. Our text serves for a good purpose, however, not only in that it proclaims the gospel, but it serves to remind us of the fact that the Christian life is a battle, a struggle, a fight. We are saved to serve. We are called to be soldiers of the cross, ever fighting the good fight of faith. Our text doesn't suggest at all that you and I can ever lay down our weapons against sin, Satan, and this luring, godless world. No, not in this life. I got an email this week from a brother who said, "Keep your hand on the plow." Could it be that someone needs to be reminded of this here? Namely, your calling while still in this life. Have you maybe become battle-weary? And becoming such, have you maybe laid down your arms, as it were, and become more settled down in the comfort of this world? Just like the Israelites did in Canaan, you know. Oh, but that's not the way to go, is it? Just think what harm it did for the Israelites dwelling at ease in Zion. Becoming battle-weary sometimes, oh, that's understandable. But the solution is not to quit the battle, but rather to get your blunt iron sharpened again and anew by our Savior King, and to go forward step by step, day by day, year by year, in the power of His might. I mean, isn't there sin you must battle yet? Isn't there lust you must put down still? Don't you still have to stand guard against satanic attack and the vain attractions of this world? Isn't there heresy and false teachings always to combat and to stand in guard against?
Isn't there more holiness you can pursue? Isn't there much to be done in God's church and kingdom? Ways to serve in His name, also for you and by you. When you read John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress or his Holy War, you know the foes are always there, and Scripture teaches it all over. It's not time, congregation, to sit back. No, not living in the perilous phase we do. It's not time to be without the whole armor of God. We must have it on. We must have it on if we will be faithful, true Christians. Oh, in glory, yes, in glory after this life, God's people can rest. But this in this life, we must always be soldiers on guard and soldiers on duty. Our text reminds us. Is it a reminder you to appreciate and respond to in obedience or not? As someone said, quote, "A faith that rests in God, the Savior, is a faith that is restless to do His will." Are you restless to do His will? Is that your Christian experience and prayer and care day by day and year by year? Our text serves for great and good purposes, not only in proclaiming to us the gospel and reminding us of our calling, but finally, our text surely makes clear also the joy of the Christian life. The joy. The Christian life is not a life of hard bondage and fruitless self-endeavor and despairing meaninglessness. No, it's a life of liberating service and fruitful endeavors and fulfilling life. All because of who God is for His own. And what He has done and will do. What He has done for us. And what He will do in us and through us too. Through Christ the Savior. The Savior has gone before His people with whetted edge. And He has fought even to the point of shedding His blood to obtain perfect and eternal salvation for all His own, as many as believe on Him. And with Him now is found everything you and I need. Not only in becoming Christians, but also in living all out for the Lord, to His praise, and for the good of others. Just think, if Jesus the Savior wasn't there, always to give power to the faint, and to increase the strength of those who have no more might. If He wasn't there ever again to sharpen the irons we make blunt, or that we make dull in the battles of daily life. Oh, without Him, we certainly couldn't speak so positively about the Christian faith and challenges. But the gospel is, isn't it? You just celebrated it too, that Jesus is there for His people. His name is Emmanuel, which means God with us. Therefore, beloved congregation, we can be sure the Christian life and calling need not be a fearful and fretful thing, but can truly be something that's most delightful and successful and fulfilling. The service of sin and Satan and this world, that's all sure to end in despair and disappointment and defeat and eternal destruction under the just condemnation of God triune. But always in the service of the Lord, there is victory, there is blessing, there is joy, there is eternal life. God's people in life's journey, they go from what? From strength to strength, from glory to glory, even as we live from day to day, from faith to faith, in hope against hope, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. While the same, even from the Old Testament perspective, King Solomon desired to make known, also with his writing of Ecclesiastes. His word is true still today, as when first written, inspired by the Holy Spirit. All is vanity, except we be in the way of the Lord and living daily in humble dependency on Him. Yes, for everything. I must end Ecclesiastes 10, verse 10. If the iron be blunt, and you do not whet or sharpen the edge, then must you put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. Oh, this text presents a gripping picture, which has a gracious point. And that all for good and great purposes. Will this word of wisdom and salvation also direct you now?
아멘. 소